Hello, good morning, everybody. As James said, I'm Darius Hubbard, one of the pastors here at Antioch. Our lead pastor is on sabbatical, so you get to enjoy the rest of us for a while. I knew Chris would get that. He gets to enjoy me a lot because he helped out with the ministry, so I don't know if that's a good thing for him. But, yeah, so I'm going to pray for us before we get started, and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much just for another opportunity to receive something from your word. We ask that you just decrease us, Lord, and help us receive something that we can apply to our lives and share with others. We thank you. We ask that you be exalted, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we during the summer, we go through a summer series of summer psalms. We've been going through the psalms for a couple years in the summertime, and today is a continuation of that, and we are in Psalms 57. And the title of that is Trusting in God in Troubled Times. Anybody ever find it difficult sometimes to trust in God when you have difficulties in your life? How many people have ever felt attacked or spoken to harshly or mistreated unprovokedly by somebody? Or have you ever felt like life circumstances are attacking you and you just don't know what to do with it? And it's overwhelming. I know sometimes when I feel attacked unprovokedly, I can let the first offense go. I'll let the second one go. By the third time, I'm like, I'm about to go Hulkbuster on somebody. The next person that bothered me is going to be smash puny humans. And so, but that's because I watch a lot of Hulk. But David didn't do that. That's not where he taught. He's not smashing puny humans. So we're going to look at Psalms 57 and really look what happens to David. What choices David make when he has some circumstances out of his control. He's feeling attacked by many people. And we look at what David turns to, what he do. He can relate to us. There's a couple of psalms that are similar to this psalm that we're going to be going through. Psalms 57, 58, and 59. And it's the theme is that is when being attacked by enemies or having trouble in your life and tempted to take things in your own control, what do you do? Do you take matters into your own hands or do you entrust that to God? And that's really what David is going about today. So we're going to be focusing on in Psalms 57 how troubled times in our lives gives us an opportunity to trust in God and also minister to others. So I'm going to read Psalms 57. It says, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a mictum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, we can't just start it without recapping that. What does that even mean? So, if anybody know the story about David, David became king after his father-in-law, God, Saul, a man named Saul, he made a bunch of reckless choices that really led him away from God. And God told Saul that I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to another. At the time, he did not know who it was. Later on, he found out it was David, his son-in-law. And so, but he really became jealous and angry and of David because God was giving David the kingdom. And so he started to really go after David. He started to attack David unprovokedly, really wanted to kill him. And so that's why it says, at this time when he was running away from Saul in a cave. Verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry unto God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah, God will send that God would send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the fiery beast, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake. O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. So we really see here in verse 2, I'm reading verse 2 again, it said, be gracious to me, O God. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. David really here, he supports himself with faith and hope in God in this prayer. Really, the first six verses are a prayer to God. He prays to God that, do you see what's going on with me? These enemies are surrounding me. But he looks up to God with a heartfelt prayer. Be merciful to me, O Lord. Anyone ever felt like there's been circumstances around you and they seem so heavy on you, all you can do is cry out for mercy? I know there's been various seasons in my life where big troubling circumstances have hit me and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. And they just cry out to God, have mercy, Lord. We must be like David. David had a sure faith in this prayer. He had a sure faith that God would answer his pleas. David said, have mercy on me. And if you learn more about David and his story, you'll see that later on we'll see that I don't think it was just have mercy on me because I'm so overwhelmed. But if you know anything about David, David was a war general before in the army of Saul. So he was a man, the Bible says he was a bloody man. He was a man of war. So how easy would it have been for someone attacking him, for him just to attack them back? So it's like, the circumstances is so great, it's out of my control. I need your mercy, God, but I also want to take things in my own hand. Have mercy on me, God, that I can trust in you to handle this situation. Like, I'm going through that right now in a season of my life. I think most people might know, some might. My brother was, this summer, was a victim of gun violence, and now he's been in the hospital for the last 4 months in surgical ICU, and he's actually a paraplegic now. And sometimes that can be so heavy, navigating that, going to the hospital, navigating family life and what his life is going to be like now, that it's so heavy. It feels like it's going to destroy me. That burden is so heavy, but all I can do is trust it into God. It's out of my control. It's out of my hands. But so much of me want to say, do this way. I want to fix it. What can I do? One commentator says about the title of this psalm, Do Not Destroy. It says, some make it to be only a tune which the psalmist was set. Others apply it to an occasion of the matter of the psalm, destroy not. That is, David would not let Saul be destroyed. When David was running from Saul, he had many opportunities. The Bible talks about in 1 Samuel, he had a couple of opportunities where he snuck up on Saul. And he had a couple of opportunities to take it into his own hands and stop the trouble that was on his life. Saul constantly chased him. But 1 Samuel 24 and 4 says this, about what David felt like about destroying Saul. I mean, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 26, 8 through 11 says this. Then Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hands this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of a spear, and I would not strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can put his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down in battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I shall put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. It was not that David just felt bad about, I can kill Saul, I shouldn't kill Saul. But because David trusted in God, he left it up to God's hand. He said, God will deal with this situation. Whatever this is that's out of my control is so heavy, I want to take matters in my own hand, but I have to trust it unto God. And because David trusted in God, God would not let Saul's sin destroy David. Saul was the one who sinned and turned against God. And that led him down this road in life. A couple of things that Saul did. Saul's not trusting in God ruins his relationship with God. God told Saul, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. I'm no longer going to speak to you. Another thing that Saul did, by Saul not trusting in God, is ruined his relationship with his family. His own son, Jonathan, was David's best friend, and he came to his father and said, why are you chasing after David? What has he done to you? And he threw a spear at his own son, saying, you traitor. So that his jealousy and anger of not trusting God overtook him and destroyed his own family. Saul not trusting in God ruined the lives of others. Eventually, Saul died, not at the hands of David, but because he didn't trust God and he went into battle again and fought an enemy and they killed him. And it not only did it kill him, it killed the people that was under his charge. So by not trusting in God, it ruined the relationships in Saul's life. God allowed Saul to persecute David, but he gave him a limitation, except save his life. Trials come in our life not to destroy us. God will let it build us. It gives us character, it gives us strength, has us turn to him. We look at the story of Job. God let Satan afflict Job, but God said, but spare his life. And at the end of that story, Job turned to God and said, who am I, God? You are here before everything created, so my circumstances are nothing compared to who you are. When David was given this opportunity to seek revenge, we find out the inner workings of David's heart. His heart was not for revenge. His heart was not focused on his circumstances. His heart was turned to God. And we see that. Jesus teaches us that in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, when he talks about on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about how all these things, all these people are blessed because guess what? They're kingdom-minded. When we get out of ourselves and focus on God's kingdoms, our circumstances are nothing compared to his kingdom. And we can trust him even when we're facing danger. Verse 3, David says, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me, Selah. He was confident. We see here he has confidence that in his time of trouble, who was going to show up? Was he worrying about Abishai? Abishai was there, but he's like, that was not his focus. He was on the run with a good group of men that was loyal to him. But he said, I'm not worrying about anybody else to show up for me. I'm entrusting that God sees what I'm going through, that he will save me. If not by earthly means, he said, if God does not rescue me by earthly means, he will open up heaven and send his angels to save me. So if I can see the earthly way out of it, I trust that there's a divine plan. God has a divine plan to protect me, and he's going to send that plan from heaven. We clearly see here that David turns to God with prayer, trust, and reliance. He had to wait and trust in God's deliverance. And that's what something we have to do. In everything that befalls us, we must look to God, see where his hands are working in that situation. Look for God to see what he is doing. And trust his counsel that he would accomplish the plans that he has for us. If we look at Jesus, Jesus said the same thing in Luke 22. He says that all of scriptures must be accomplished. I have to go to the cross. I have to be betrayed. Why? Because God will fulfill this plan. There's something greater coming. And that was the plan for David, because who came in David's lineage? Jesus did. So there was a blessing in David's circumstances, in his trials. Verse 4, David says, "My soul is among the lions." He shows us here that the troublesome and deep impact of his issues that he was facing. Saul's hatred was so intense that he chased this man down for years. He wanted to do so much harm to him that he even, on David's journey, he talks about how there were so many people that turned their backs on him just from a word from the king. They knew David, but wherever town he went in, there was somebody that betrayed him. He says, "I lie down with the fiery beast, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." Saul used his tongue to attack David, to get people to change, to turn on his character. Anybody else felt like that? You had people say something against you that wasn't in your character? Like, that's not me. Verse 5, David said, he interjects. He says in verse 5, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." In the midst of his prayer, David interjects a verse of praise, acknowledging the even in these horrible circumstances, it was not about me. Even in my horrible circumstances, it's an opportunity for me to glorify God. Psalms 42 and 10 through 11 tells us, David said this, "As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God? Why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.'" So even in the midst of where my bones ache, where this is such a heavy burden on me, what do? I hope in God, because that is where my salvation comes from. I can trust that he will save me. Verse 6, he says, "They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves." Selah. He describes their malice and the careful, deceitful methods they put against him. He said, they're taking the time to dig pits. They put in an effort. They put in all this effort against me, and it shows the intent of them. We see here in these first six verses, when faced with trouble, David does not turn, what that would be, he didn't have Facebook, his scroll book in his days. He could have wrote a scroll or something like that. He didn't turn to these methods of telling all the people, like, "Feel bad for me." He didn't send out complaints to his friends and families regarding what people have said about him. He turns to God with prayer, trust and reliance, and an assured faith that God will answer his request. Now, in these other verses is a transition. He goes from a prayer to God, prayers and complaints in the first six verses. Then he makes a transition, like, okay, I got it all out. What do I do now? He said, now is a reason for me to thank God. Verse 7, he says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody." He says, my heart is fixed. Not on what I said before, my soul was cast down. My soul may be cast down. This may be heavy, but my heart is fixed on something. With all the troubles facing him, no one would have thought, I don't think anyone would have thought ill of him. You have your father-in-law, he's a king, he's chasing you, trying to kill you. If he would have said, you know what, I give up, I'm done, this is too much, I don't think no one would have thought ill of him. If he would have said, my heart is shattered, my heart is waving. But no, he said, my heart stands firm and resolute to trust God. To trust in God, to serve him, and to praise God. Isaiah 26 and 3 reminds us that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So as we trust in God, even when circumstances are out of our control, they're weighing on us. We have moments of like, I cannot deal with this anymore. God can give us peace if our hearts are fixed on him. It's estimated that, we don't know the exact timeline because the Bible don't give specific dates regarding when David went into the service of Saul and when Saul started hating him. But it's estimated because of that timeline and about the age of David when he was a shepherd boy, that Saul was chasing David for about 7 years. He was on a run from his father-in-law. But we do have exact timeline for when part of that run, he went and lived into the land of Philistines. There are mortal enemies for the Jews at that time. He stayed with them for 1 year and 4 months out of his own country. And yet he still can say, my heart is fixed. I had to leave my family and friends and run from this person for 7 years. I don't think in our culture today we have the patience, let alone feel like we can be on run for somebody for that long and still trust God. I think 3 months of dealing with something, I'm like, oh my goodness, how long is this going to last? But, spoiler alert, God can outwait us. He got a lot more time than we do. So we can choose to not trust in him and be like Saul and our time is up and let the situations destroy us. Or we can just give it over to Jesus. David said, I'm going to give it to you. And not only that, I'm going to thank you in advance. Still after this, his father-in-law chased him a little bit more. But he said, I'm going to look to the future, to what you have for me, the plan you have for me. And I'm going to thank you because of that. David's prayer and complaints here turn into praise and thanksgiving to God. In verse 8, he said, awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. Sometimes you wake up and you've been dealing with some stuff like, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like talking to people today. I don't feel like going anywhere. I'm dealing with too much. But David says, I'm going to stir myself up. Why? Because God is worthy. He said, awake. I'm going to excite myself and be alert and ready for the hour of praise. Even though I might not feel like it, even though I don't see the ending, I'm going to remind myself that God is worthy of praise. So awake. Verse 9, he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Here we see a transition in David's thought process. He turns from only thanking God for himself, but he said, you've been so good, you're so great that I cannot keep this to myself. He turns and has a missional mindset. And that word nations is the same word that's used in the New Testament. When Jesus gives his command to the disciples to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And that was a miraculous thing for a Jew at his time. Especially to say, I'm going to thank God and tell of the goodness of you to other nations. Because literally the Jew of that time who didn't like Gentiles, they would say the only reason they should hear Yahweh's name is to fear it. But he said, I want you to hear about the goodness of God's name. I'm going to tell you how God has provided, how he has protected me. David has a missionary mind, a missionary spirit here. And he would spread the praise and fame of his God far and wide. I will sing unto you among the nations. Verse 10, David says, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens. David reveals his heart here and why his heart can hope and be comforted. He said, the reason I can thank you in the midst of this man trying to kill me, amidst of every town I go into, they turn on me, because you're worthy. Your steadfast love, because God's mercy is great. It reaches from the heavens to us. His love for us is so great, it's beyond our ideas and communication. And his faithfulness and truth is so great, it stretches across the skies to us. He said, this steadfast love is so great, I cannot do nothing but tell the nations about you. This God that is so great and so faithful, he wants a trusting relationship with us, even though we're the opposite. I'm not always great. I'm not always trustworthy. But he says, I want a relationship with you, one that you can trust and hope in me. Verse 11, David says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be all over the earth. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. David ends this psalm with lifting glory to God. He says, be exalted, O God. That's the same word which he used in verse 5 to sum up his prayer. He used it here again to sum up his praise and desire to glorify God. He says, why? Because your name is above all the earth. Your name is worthy of blessings. And therefore, there is no reason that I shouldn't. No one can give you the praise that is due your name. So he said, God, exalt yourself. You're the one worthy. I'm not. So God, exalt yourself because you're worthy. And sometimes we got to do that for ourselves. Like, Lord, I don't know how right now. I need you to have mercy on me. Exalt yourself through the circumstances that is too heavy for me to bear. I don't know how to do that right now, but I know you do. Exalt yourself, glorify yourself, Lord, through this hard circumstance in my life right now. So how do we trust God through these circumstances? Based on David's example in Psalms 57, what are some ways that we can build trust in our relationship with God? I got a couple ways we can do that. One, be honest and express your true feelings. David said, my soul is cast down. Emotional intimacy comes in part of knowing that you can express your feelings to someone, and you know that they will still care about you. You know that they're still willing to listen to you, that they would not dismiss you, that they will be willing, they're willing for you to be vulnerable. God wants that. He wants us to be vulnerable with him and rely on him to come through for us, especially when we're facing things out of our control. By relying and expressing our true feelings to him, it builds trust and intimacy with God. I know I can pour my heart out, even the hard things I can't share with others. Two, remember the role of God in our lives. Trouble and hardship sometimes can make us blind and lash out to those who are most close to us. Even when people who don't believe in God let a tragedy happen. God, why did you let this happen? I thought you didn't even believe in him. But those troubled times will make people blame God. But we must remember who God is in relation to us and show him the honor and respect due to him and our relationship with him. Every time we treat God in a way that demeans or violates his role in our lives, and the respect that is due to him, we chip away at the trust in our hearts towards him. Just think about in relationships with your spouse or your friends. The more you belittle that relationship, the more they're not going to trust you, or you're going to say it's hard to trust them. The third way is hold to hope and faith. We feel far more comfortable with the ones we develop trust with. And when difficult circumstances come, we know we can turn to those people. When a storm in our lives comes, we know I'm going to turn to because I trust that person. We're even willing to give that person the benefit of a doubt, even if they don't not there in the time of that storm. Like, oh, you came a little bit late. You called me. I was trying to get a hold of you, but I couldn't. Why do we give them the benefit of the doubt? Because we trust the relationship and we trust the history with them. We should do the same with the Lord. In our personal relationship with the Lord, building trust in the Lord, we have to set aside fears and doubts. Even if it's just temporarily, holding on to hope and faith because we trust that the Lord will come through for us. And we can trust the history of that relationship because he did come through. He sent his son to die on our behalf. In our hour of need, to be pulled out of darkness, to deliver us from our sins, he came through. So we can hold to the faith that he's going to come through for these circumstances. We can trust him during these hard times because we know he wants what's best for us. The fourth way, take time to praise and thank God. Sometimes we must make efforts. David said, awake, arise. We must make efforts towards something rewarding to look for. He said, take an adventurous risk of the heart and lips and the mind to praise and thank God in advance. It will move us towards a deeper trust. I don't see how this is going to come about. But Lord, I thank you because I've seen your faithfulness. I thank you because you sent your son. I thank you because you love me beyond compare. So even though I don't understand, I'm going to take time to praise you and thank you. The fifth way is be willing to give as well as receive. The Friendship Research Group in a research article called The Role of Reciprocity and Directionality of Friendship Ties in Promoting Behavioral Change. It discusses just how important giving and receiving is to a solid relationship. Now, God has given us far more than we can ever repay him or give back to him. And John 3:16 reminds us of this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whomever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. No matter how much we give, we can't repay that. Yet God welcomes and is worthy of our gifts of admiration and service. Because of David's trust in God and witness of his grace, he says in verse 11, I will tell the nations of you. That is the same call we have on our lives today. In Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 says, Jesus tells us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So it is our job as well to tell the nations. God wants us to trust him with the controllable and uncontrollable circumstances of our lives. But we must take a leap of faith. A leap of faith as followers of Jesus to trust him with all things. Not just with the little things that we can fix ourselves, but with the things we can't fix. trust him with those things. And if we're not yet followers of him, he wants us to trust him. He wants you to put your trust in him. He wants you to believe in him. Because he is trustworthy. Let us pray. Help us to trust you, God. Through that trust, exalt thyself above the heavens and earth, Jesus. Father, glorify your name in us and in the hard circumstances of our lives. Let our hearts take hope in you. Lead and guide us into all truth, Jesus. In your precious name, amen.